today on Family Talk.
Well, welcome everyone to Family Talk. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and today we're bringing you a program featuring Dr. Tim Clinton as our guest host. He gets to do the work today, and I get the day off. Dr. Clinton is the president of the nearly 50,000-member American Association of Christian Counselors. It's also called AACC. He is also a professor of counseling and pastoral care and the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. Dr. Clinton is recognized as a world leader in faith and mental health issues, and he's authored some 30 books, including his latest, Breakthrough, When to Give In and When to Push Back. Dr. Clinton is also the host of his own daily radio program called Life, Love, and Family. During the fall of 2016, in the AACC conference, Dr. Clinton interviewed Dr. Greg Jantz about relationship dependency. We have that recording today, and we're going to let you hear it. Dr. Jantz is a state-certified chemical dependency counselor and a licensed mental health counselor. He's also an international speaker and a best-selling author of 28 books. Dr. Jantz has appeared on CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS, and has been interviewed by the New York Post, Associated Press, Family Circle, and Women's Day. In 1984, he founded the Center, A Place for Hope, and that's in Edmonds, Washington. And for over 30 years, he has helped people find emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. Their conversation about relationship dependency will help you identify unhealthy relationships around you and give you a game plan for changing those dynamics. That's why we're airing it today. So let's hear it now on today's edition of Family Talk.
Dr. Jantz, thanks for stopping by Family Talk to talk about a pretty difficult subject. As a matter of fact, the title of the book we're going to be talking about today is called Don't Call It Love.
Yes. Very important topic.
A subject built around relationships. It's really the idea, first of all, that everybody listening, even Tim Clinton, I've got people in my life where I break the rules. I go the extra mile. I tolerate maybe things that I shouldn't tolerate. Everybody's got a somebody, Greg.
And we do it in the name of love and caring.
Those relationships where, in the name of love, we often tolerate, put up with,
yes.
Go places in that relationship that we shouldn't go. And we know it. How do you stop that cycle and get to a place where you actually are in a healthy, loving, vibrant relationship with those people in your life? And we'll talk about some of the things that keep us in those relationships, but... Tell us a little bit about this. These relationships can be very manipulative. They can feel very controlling. They can take us to a place where it doesn't even make sense what
right.
we're doing.
And we ultimately become blinded, and we get in a sense of denial with our own behavior. Because this is the person, Tim. They've called you several times at 2 in the morning, and they'll say things like, you don't understand. You're the only one that can help me. I need you. And they feel needy. And you start to buy into it and go, well, I am the only one. And you start to feel like, yes, I have to be there all the time. If they need money, and you've given them money before, you go, well, I don't know if I should do this, but I do love them, and yes, I'll do this. You'll begin to justify your behaviors in order to make it okay. But you're really not loving them in a true sense of what I'll call godly love that's going to be life-changing for them.
There are a number of reasons why people stay stuck in those kind of relationships.
Yes, there are.
And Greg, I want to drill into them a little bit. First of all, I think for some of us, maybe God's just given us the gift of helps.
Yes.
We care, and God, for some reason, people are drawn to us, and we enjoy ministering or helping.
It's a natural God-given gift. Maybe you have a lot of compassion in your life.
Yeah, and so you feel like this is the place where I feel value. There's something about doing this that It's significant to me.
Well,
I want to step up. I want to make a difference. Let me throw another G in here. Grace. Maybe God has graced you. Maybe you went through hard times in your own life. And as a result, that you've experienced forgiveness and you just think, you know what? That's what Christianity is all about. That's what the faith's all about. And so I want to grace that person. And you justify.
Yes. And that's the key. You're justifying it.
I threw down another G word here for a second, and that is guilt.
Okay.
We sit in this relationship, and we often begin to feel like if I don't do this, if I don't call him back, he may go hurt himself.
Right.
Or if I don't give him money, they're going to lose their home.
So, and you've really led us into something that's really important.
Or he won't come home.
Right. Because you're taking responsibility for his life. And you have a sense of what we'll call false guilt. If I don't do this, I feel terrible because what if such and such would happen? And you've put it all on you. You're carrying this person's life and the responsibility that they have. You're carrying that. And that's one of our danger or red flags. Is your happiness dependent upon them doing well?
You know, in this whole process, then there's a sense too of empowerment. It's like this cocktail of these things coming together, and it's God's blessed this in my life. And if I don't do these things, somehow not being what God wants me to be.
Exactly.
To him or her.
And we start to tell ourselves, well, I'm a Christian. I love God. God would do this for me. I better do it for another person. We haven't used the word yet, but the word we need to use is we enable them to stay unhealthy. As we enable them to stay unhealthy, we become unhealthy. We begin to lose sleep. We begin to have a sense of anxiousness. We begin to have a sense of depression because we end up carrying their life and responsibility that they should be carrying. And we do this all in the name of love. But we're suggesting here, this really isn't love.
Yeah. Our topic again today here on Family Talk is Don't Call It Love, Breaking the Cycle of Relationship Dependency.
Yes.
Dr. Greg Jantz is our special guest with The Center, A Place for Hope out of Seattle, Washington. Fabulous ministry that Greg has out there treating people from all over the country around the world. And he's a dear friend of our ministry here.
Yes, yes.
And Greg, we're talking about a difficult subject because especially in Christianity, and I want to stay with it, we're supposed to go there. But somewhere we have failed to recognize that love truly does have boundaries, that somewhere what we're doing isn't working. This isn't changing. It's not going to make a difference. It doesn't matter how many times I show up. It's not going to fix the problem.
Exactly.
But it's so hard to swallow that, Greg, because I want to have hope. Somebody had hope for me. I want to have hope for Joey. You just don't know Joey. Joey's my boy.
Yes. And we own it all. And they do need us to be there, but in a different way. And let's look at that, because love says, and love endures in all things. And we can look at that and go, okay, but you used a really important word, boundaries. How do we put guardrails around that so that they're healthy and we're not doing their work for them? And the other thing that's a danger is we can step in and we start to play kind of God ourselves. We start to take over. And that's a fine line at times, but we really begin to interfere maybe with what God needs to do in their life.
Could it be, Dr. Jantz, that in this kind of a situation, if we're in that role of rescuing, of enabling that you were talking about, that maybe there's a fuel there for us that somehow we're getting energized by being the person who does show up, that we're the one who is almost getting a high off of participating in this, that we have a special place of value and need. And so we often perpetuate it, maybe even unknowingly, or in a way that just, it keeps us also drawn into this kind of sick pattern.
It does. And for a while, we really feel needed. We go, oh, God is using me in their life. I feel needed. And part of my life is I had to figure this out. I need to give you a little self-confession. You know, I think I had early on, I've been in the helping profession, this is my 31st year, I believe I had the helper's disease of saying yes. Tim, I would say, if somebody needed, yes, I can be there. Yes, I can extend my appointments. Yes. And I ended up being very, ultimately, if you will, sick. I suffered from some depression because I didn't have healthy boundaries. And I was saying yes to everything. And I ended up not being effective. And also, it hurt me and hurt my family because of saying yes to everything. So the difference has to be, I'm going to say yes to those things that I clearly hear God's voice. So I got to really work on that piece.
But what do you do when you're in this kind of a situation, okay, Greg? How do you make a transition here to put in place boundaries, maybe new ways of behaving together, or to make a course correction? Because let me go back to the guilt piece.
Yes.
When you feel like you are the only person who does care about her or him in your life, and no one else is going to show up, and they've got destruction in front of them, and if you abandon this relationship, I mean, there are consequences that are going to be paid here. What do you do? How do you manage that? We need some practical guidance and steps about what should I do if I'm caught up in that kind of a relationship right now. What's step one?
Step one is slow down and pause. If you feel like I have to do something immediately, or they've called me and I have to call them right back, or something bad's going to happen, I need you to pause. I need you to step back. And a pause means I need to wait just a little bit. I need to get some clarity. And I need to practice saying things like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to give you money this time. I'm sorry, that's not going to work out. And stop rescuing. So prepare yourself ahead of time for how you're going to navigate this, what you're going to say.
Let's be honest, too. Easier said than done.
Easier said than
done. Come on, because if Tommy or Joey says, listen, if you don't do that, I'm telling you right now, right now. And so you're going to see some emotional reaction come.
You will.
When you try to put a boundary in place.
And this is also where you may need to call for some additional help. You may be carrying this all on your own. And this may be a situation that there needs to be some guidance for you, some professional intervention. So be careful, because if you're the only one, that's a really tough place to be. Don't be the only one.
And Greg, what kind of advice would you give to a person who just says, wait a second, I don't want to create any harm, though. You know, it could be that this really could happen. How do you instruct or encourage them to make sure they don't drop a bomb out of nowhere on a situation? Because sometimes that would be just as destructive. How do we temper this?
Right. And sometimes we need to step in and say, you know what? What I can do for you right now is I can pray with you right now. Pray that they will be empowered by God's Spirit. You're not the only voice they're listening to. But be sure you're not the only voice.
And that's hard, okay? And I want to stay with it because I want people to hear this. It's at this particular point. You're saying, listen, engage in the process. Let's talk it through. Let them know you love them. I'm not abandoning you. But what I am saying is what we're doing isn't working here. We've got to change the rules, because if we don't, helping you is going to begin to hurt me in this process. And then we're both going to go down. And if we don't stop
and
do something different, this is going to blow up and end anyway.
And what you've just described, Tim, is where the codependency can ultimately take you. It can take two people into despair instead of one.
Step number two. Okay, we've decided to put a stake in the ground and say, hey, listen, we've got to do something different.
Sure. I'm going to make
I'm still here.
Yes.
I still love you. I care about you.
Okay.
But we're going to do something different.
So in your communications, you're going to be careful to say things like, tell me what you've done to help yourself. What are you going to do? Instead of constantly doing it for them, I want you to continue to put it back on them. And it could be...
But they'll continue to try to put it back on
you. Oh, they will, because they've been pretty good at it. They could be really good at manipulating.
They're pros.
Oh, and they could be crying, and they'll say things like, you don't understand, you're the only one that can help me.
And if you really care about someone, those are sad moments.
Yes.
They're difficult.
Yeah. And it may be a person, you know, I've checked. I know that the food bank is open these hours. It's about 5 blocks away from where you are. You go there first. So what we want to do is we're going to be careful about our level of rescue and over-rescue. And you said something really important, that this is super hard. It's a lot easier said than done, because you're on the phone with them or they're there in person, and it could be a dear loved one, and they know how to pull your strings. They know exactly because you have a long history together. So these changes are tough to make.
Our special guest today is Dr. Greg Jantz. He is a counselor, psychologist out of Seattle, Washington. He has a ministry there called The Center, A Place for Hope. Has been involved in ministering to people, especially broken lives, for some 30-plus years. A dear friend of ours here of the ministry. And again, it's a delight to have you. Greg, we're talking about a tough subject. We're talking about don't call it love. Breaking the cycle of relationship dependency.
Right.
Dealing with that somebody in your life where you tend to break all the rules and you go places or you tolerate, you put up with things that you shouldn't be putting up with. Greg, we talked about taking steps to break those patterns.
Yes.
First one was put a stake in the ground, really.
Ultimately, it is.
Okay, and then talk secondly about what are we going to do, what have you done, and continue to put the responsibility back on them to change their behavior.
Yes.
Without saying that you're abandoning them.
Right, and you're not abandoning them. And you're going to also say things like, you know what, I am going to continue to pray for you, and I want you to know I believe in you. And, you know, sometimes you're dealing with addiction. Sometimes that addiction has got to take them to a place. It can be quite scary. Maybe that's what it is. But it's their decision, and it has to be their decision. Otherwise, you probably realize you can't control another human being. You've been trying and trying, and it's not working.
Well, it's difficult, too, when somebody makes a phone call to you and they say, we don't have any food to eat this week. Can you give us some money for food? Well, the truth is, if you were to look at their checkbook, they spent X amount of dollars on these things this week and made a decision not to buy food.
Right.
And then you put the responsibility back on you. But nevertheless, when you get that call, it's hard to say no, especially because of those challenging issues we talked about.
Yes.
The next step, Dr. Jantz.
And I'm going to keep affirming that I really do love you. I care greatly about you. So you're going to keep giving that affirmation without rescuing them. I think the next step is to make sure there's others involved in the process. Make sure that you really and truly aren't the only one. So as you think about steps to take, okay, who's in your life that is supporting you in this process? Is it a pastor? Is it a counselor? Who's supporting you? Because this has been really, really draining. And it may has really affected you. Maybe you've had a lot of sleepless nights. You feel very anxious about this. And so how are you doing your own self-care? We've got to take care of you so that you can truly maintain the position.
What you're saying is you need to get another set of eyes.
Absolutely.
On this situation and get some support around you.
Because make sure you're being grateful.
Listen, you've been caught up in a pattern, a system that's not working.
Yes, yes.
You know that? And probably some things inside of you are perpetuating that.
Yeah, why do I need to be so
have
needed?
Someone help you put that boundary
absolutely
in place.
Yes.
Next step.
Next step. I think the next step is going to be make sure there's help for this person that you care so much about. And it's not just you again. Make sure there are resources. At times, it's a resource to send them to a particular group. Sometimes there's free resources, but make sure that they have resources. A pastor. A resource would be a counselor who understands these situations. A resource could be a good book that's going to help you create a game plan. Also, your prayer partners can be another resource. Resources may look even like addiction help if it's addiction. Resources could be certain places. But to begin to create a whole set of resources so you're equipping not only yourself, but you are preparing to give them the resources that could be helpful to them, depending on their need. It could even be medical, psychological. Of course, there could be some spiritual needs, but create a resource plan. You may even write a note, and this would probably be good to do. It's on a 3x5 card or a notepad, but you've written down and you've handed them a note of resources. So you've empowered them, given them information. Make sure they're not standing alone. Make sure there's resources and other people in their life. Now, they're always going to choose whether to use that or not. They may choose not to.
Again, easier said than done.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jantz, in this process, some people say that really what's happened is you have put that person on a pedestal. Some would use the word idolatry, that you've made an idol out of them in that moment. What do you see in that description? for a moment.
Yes. Well, partially, if I am just, if you will, obsessing every time, daytime hours, I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about, quote, what I should be doing. I wake up in the middle of the night and they're the first thing on my mind. So if it's controlling you to that degree, obviously that's not healthy. But that also becomes that idol. This person is controlling your life. And you may be trying to act like God. You're going to carry it all, try to fix it all. Be careful about that.
Dr. Jens, I want to go a little deeper with this subject just for a moment, because yes, sometimes the person we're talking about is the person you're married to.
Yes, yes.
Or sometimes the relationship between you and that person is so close and so intimate that this discussion together just goes in a different direction. It's really difficult.
That's right.
When the person we're talking about is filled with anger and it says, don't make friends with an angry man or an angry woman, but you're married to that person now.
Right.
Dr. Jens, what do you say to the listener out there right now who would say, that's my relationship and I feel so trapped? I hear those steps that you're talking about to get out, but it's more complicated than you guys could ever imagine.
Yes, because if I make some changes, then maybe I don't have a place to live, or, and there's always the fear, the what
if. The consequences to me may be greater than what I think the consequences are of staying and in perpetuating what's going on. That maybe, hopefully, if I just stay faithful here,
sure,
it'll change. And I really continue to buy into kind of like that enmeshed relationship and that false hope that's there.
Yes, and that enmeshment will keep you from seeing things from a new perspective. So I'm going to encourage you, yes, you need to seek wisdom and wise counsel. And as you do, and as you begin to step away from this just a little bit, your eyes are going to begin to be open, and you're going to start to see some things that probably you didn't before, or you kind of were in a sense of denial, but you were so enmeshed in the situation, and you became so dependent upon this. It's the woman who is faithfully over-served to a degree that she's not healthy. She wakes up in the morning, she's afraid about what clothes to put on, is her husband going to like him or not, and she's afraid. There's so much fear. Okay, so look for, we've got to address that fear. So look for the false fear, look for the guilt in your life, and you could be really angry that you're in this position. So check and see, am I in any way turning that anger back on me? You likely could be suffering from some depression because of this.
I want you to, we're just fighting the clock here, I want you to talk about hope.
Sure.
Here in these situations, because they often feel very hopeless. We've talked about some action plans. Do you
Yes.
really believe, and have you seen significant change in these kind of relationships? Not just an explosion where it all blows up. Can you see change where you can get to a healthy, loving relationship with that person?
I have seen this change, and part of what keeps me going in the helping professions is seeing the change, and it's encouraging to me. I know personally that there is hope. I also know that if you'll allow enough time to keep working a game plan, and hope comes when we have a plan. So part of what we laid out in the book, Don't Call It Love, is a game plan. Part of the game plan also is to make sure we're very prayer-driven on this. We've got to be asking God to give us the steps and to have wisdom in what we're doing. The outcome can be good. And I want to say, yes, the outcome can be very hopeful.
That's very well said, Dr. Jens. I'm James Dobson, and you've been listening to Family Talk with our guest host, Dr. Tim Clinton, discussing unhealthy relationship dependency with Dr. Greg Jens. Obviously, we are made to be in relationship with others, but for some people, the need to be loved and accepted can become distorted and exaggerated. And that can be devastating to a marriage, and it can undermine a family. So if you saw yourself today in any of the examples of relationship dependency, I urge you to make some changes. And a great place to start is with the book that Dr. Jens and Dr. Clinton co-wrote. It's called Don't Call It Love, Breaking the Cycle of Relationship Dependency. And we have a link to it on our website at drjamesdobson.org. We'll also have a link to help you find a Christian counselor in your area if you feel a need for professional guidance to break the cycle of unhealthy relationships. I encourage you to reach out and get the help you need. And if we can be of assistance to you, please let us know. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to come back and be with us for another edition next time of Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.